In part by a grant from the Art Mart in the Lincoln Square Mall, Urbana. The Art Mart is pleased to support public radio in East Central Illinois. Programming on WILL AM is made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, where world music traditions come alive in performances by Latin American singer Tanya Libertad, the Irish ensemble Kennedy's Kitchen, and Scottish fiddler Bonnie Rideout. For more information, visit KrannertCenter.com. AM 580 thanks Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors for its support of Focus 580. Overhead Doors is pleased to support public radio in Central Illinois on behalf of its customers and business associates.
Good morning, this is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton, sitting in for David Inge. Glad you could listen today. During this hour of the show, we'll do something we do once a month on Focus 580. That's take your questions on home maintenance, home repair, improvement, whatever you need to do to your home. The questions are fair game during this hour of the show. Hank Spees joins us. He always is our guest during the third Monday of the month from 10 to 11 to take your questions. And he's with the Hank Spees Home Inspection Service here in Champaign-Urbana. He joins us, like I say, every month to take your calls, so that's what this is about. All you have to do is pick up the telephone and dial us at, do I remember the phone numbers here? 333-9455. And that's the local line. Also, toll-free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Your questions for Hank Spees are welcome. Good morning, Hank.
Good morning.
Good to see you again.
I always enjoy this show.
Well, it's probably a good time to be talking since we're just sort of in that weather transition between fall and winter, and there might be some issues people have. And in fact, we have a couple callers lined up already.
Right. Well, people ought to be getting their storm windows in and down and so on. Mm-hmm. Change their furnace filters, make sure that their heating system is working right, because they're going to need it.
Okay. Well, let's see what's our lines are filled, so let's go ahead and talk with callers. First up, someone in Urbana, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning, Hank. I have a question about what's the best way to keep the main level of the house warm. It's a one-story house with a basement. Should I leave the basement air ducts open, or should I close them off?
You can leave them pretty much open. We don't want to overheat it, but it will heat the floors, which will make the upstairs more comfortable.
Right.
And so the real problem usually is trying to heat the basement because the air ducts are normally in the ceiling, and putting in warm air at the ceiling, it tends to stay there, so we need a means of mixing it vertically. Hopefully your heating system may have a couple of main duct dampers as to how much air goes to each floor. If they don't, they probably can be installed. But generally speaking, yes, I would want the basement reasonably well heated to keep the floor warm.
Right, okay. So close the ducts down a little bit, perhaps, in the basement, but or maybe just leave them as they were, because I'm not using the basement very much. But
okay. Close them half to three-quarters.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Another Urbana caller, line number two next. Good morning.
Hi. On a recent inspection of our crawl space, we discovered the beginning of a termite tube on one of the cement supports. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple people in, and my question, well, I have a couple questions. First, is now the best time to treat for termites?
Anytime you find them is the time to treat them.
All right. And the other thing is that I've had two people out to look and tell me, give me estimates of what they would do and how they would do it. And basically, both of them recommended Thermidor. But one said that he would do the whole exterior of the house plus the interior of the crawl space around where the termite where the tube was seen. The other one just suggested spots and baits in places away from where they thought the termites might be. And I was wondering what you would recommend.
Well, this baiting system has been around a few years now. It's been reasonably successful. Basically, it's a matter they go around and put in wood stakes in plastic housings where they can be pulled up and looked at. And if the termite has attacked the wood stake, then they substitute a stake that contains a growth hormone that keeps the termite from shedding its skin. Being an insect, it can't grow if it can't shed. So therefore, they haul this all back, and theoretically this will kill off the whole colony, but it may take 6 months to do it. So, as I say, it has its advantages. You're not poisoning the soil, contaminating groundwater, or anything of that sort. But I certainly would want some, I think, direct soil poisoning.
Okay. So, I mean, it's basically a choice of either or.
Well, not necessarily. You may do both. In other words, one will provide a barrier so they can't get into your house now. The other one may well exterminate the entire colony, which, of course, is desirable.
I understood from the way it was explained to me that the Thermidor, which was injected into the soil, would also kill off the colony.
Okay. That is not the one that I'm used to seeing show up most often. The one we usually see is Dursban, which is a soil poisoning. And then we have the other Centricon or a couple of other brand name systems on the bait thing. As long if it will both kill them off and provide something for them to take back to the nest, it sounds good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for the call. We have a couple lines open with Hank Spies here, and the phone number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Next up, a listener in Piatt County, line number 4. Good morning.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I have a question about plumbing first. I have my home was built in the 70s, so it's the tub and tile are not, you know, the installed fiberglass, whatever they are. It's surrounded by tile. And when I turn on the faucet in the tub and then flip the switch for the shower, water completely doesn't stop at the faucet.
Okay.
And is that a major problem because it's surrounded by tile? You know, it's a tile.
Well, no, you can unscrew that tub filler spout and either repair it or replace it.
Unscrew the what?
The filler spout for the tub.
Okay.
Is this one that has the little thing that you pull up on the tub filler?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's all. Very often those things will leak excessively if they haven't been used much.
Mm-hmm.
If people have used mostly the tub and not very often the shower. Mm-hmm. But that whole thing will unscrew from the wall. You can replace it, repair it, whatever, okay. Screw it back onto the pipe.
Okay. And then my second question is, I chose to have my furnace replaced this summer, and the person who went into the crawl space, the heating person, said that the air conditioner had just been vented or drained down into the crawl space, and that there was mold now in my crawl space.
Probably.
What do I do about that?
Well, you move the drain so that it drains somewhere else.
Oh, he did that. He fixed that. But
okay.
I meant,
well, yeah. once you remove the moisture source, the mold dies.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't just sit down there and reproduce.
No. If you have any significant amount, you can spray it down with a solution of, say, one part of household chlorine bleach to 3 or 4 parts of water.
Okay.
And that will kill it. But generally speaking, if you can keep it dry, mold can't live.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks so much for the call. Good luck. We have a caller waiting on line number 3 in Chillicothe. Good morning.
Chillicothe, yes.
Chillicothe, thank you.
I have a problem with leaves in my gutters. And the problem is I'm having trouble getting any kind of gutter guard put into those gutters because we just had a metal roof put on. Apparently, all of these gutter guard systems need to be tucked up under the asphalt shingles, and they don't know how to deal with this metal roof.
Do you have deciduous trees or needles?
Mostly deciduous.
Okay. There is a system that uses essentially a nylon grid that is put entirely in the gutter,
mm-hmm.
and that should do the job. It's not great on needles, so that was why I was asking the question.
This is kind of a flexible screen that you kind of bend in there?
Yes, actually it's about a half an inch thick. If you will give our engineer your name and address, I will mail you something on it.
That'd be great, because I've tried these little flexible screens that you just kind of bend in place, and they don't hold up. The leaves just knock them.
You put this unit in, and you caulk it with silicone caulk to hold it in place.
Well, I'd be happy to get that information.
Okay. Well, our engineer will come online and take your name and address.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, gutter guards, you know, the different varieties and so forth, and we tried some that just didn't work, you know. But then you can spend a lot more, I guess, and get something that is a lot more effective.
Probably the most widely advertised and highest price is the one that's being pushed, but I'm not sure that it's that much better than the others. I have a listing of about 6 or 8 different brands at varying prices and so on. The gutter helmet sells locally for something like $15 a foot, which is, I think, ridiculous. I think we get the equivalent for probably 6, and that's installed. But as I say, this other unit is flexible, can be cut easily. And I just got in sample kits because I have one remaining piece of gutter in my house that I'm going to have to use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Does anybody make a gutter that already comes with a gutter guard installed?
Yes. There is a company that makes a system where, you know, most gutters are rolled. You get flat sheet, and it rolls the whole works, mm-hmm, gutter guard mm-hmm, and all. Mm-hmm. The big disadvantage of that is there's always a certain amount of things that do get past it, and you can't open it up to clean them.
Right, like pine needles.
You won't get pine needles on this. I'm thinking more of the granules off the shingles.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So where you can't open it to do anything about it, well, that would present more of a problem.
Couple callers waiting and room for others. If you'd like to join us, Hank Spies is our guest, taking your questions on home maintenance and improvement. 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Toll free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Another Urbana listener next, line number 1. Good morning.
Hello, good
yes.
show. Could you describe again how to stop cold drafts in the winter, especially for the gas furnace? It seems there's an old brick chimney. It has no turning type little vent to prevent cold air from blowing down the chimney, and there seems to be a kind of a space in the duct tape that allows air to go from the basement up the chimney to improve the draft flow, but it seems that on certain days the wind could also just blow right back down into the basement. Thanks. Listen off air.
When the furnace is running, the flow is definitely upward. I'm not sure what you're referring to in terms of this space that lets the air go up. There is a draft diverter on the top of most furnaces that does indeed have some slots around it to pull in air from the basement to go up. Among other things, it decreases the temperature in the flue. But that really isn't generally a problem. It isn't going to go up that much. If your furnace is properly sized, when it's very cold, it's going to be running 80% of the time. And we're going to be running warm air up there. So I don't consider that should be. If your furnace is running a fourth of the time, it's oversized. And you aren't getting a very efficient heating system. So that's probably the best I can do without seeing what is actually in place.
Okay. Well, our lines are completely open, so if people would like to join us, you can do so now. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Speaking of heating, there's a number of things we could talk about, but I saw this item in the local newspaper about electric radiant floor heat. And I'd heard of hot water radiant floor heat, which is, you know, certainly considered, I think, by many to be, you know, great for a lot of reasons. But I'd never heard of electric radiant floor heat. Have you run into that?
Oh, yes. I do a lot of work in Colorado.
Yeah.
The people coming in off the ski slopes definitely appreciate warm floors.
Right.
Toes are about to fall off the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, generally speaking, most places that use it do not use it as the major heat source.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep bathroom floors warm and things like this. And it can be very useful from a comfort standpoint in doing that. And it works quite well. We do have the same problem that we had when we had were working with electric ceiling cable heat, and that is if something breaks, if you get a broken wire, it is a real stinker to try and find where it's broken and where to fix it.
Yeah. Yes.
you're almost doing the equivalent of witching for a well when you start looking for a break in wiring that's embedded in the floor or ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the only problem that I have with it. But, yes, there are a number of firms that produce an electric heating grid, and then you put your other flooring down over it, and they keep the floor warm, and it's great in bathrooms and that sort of thing. 2 o'clock in the morning, it's real nice to walk in and not jump with shock as you hit the ceramic tile. And
yeah.
So, as I say, it's useful, but I don't have any great recommendation for it as the primary source
right.
of heat.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, but electric heat is relatively expensive.
Yeah.
So it has its advantages.
Well, speaking of shock when you hit the tile floor, are there any safety issues at all? Because, I mean, I can imagine, especially in a bathroom, if it wasn't completely insulated and you know.
No,
and,
I'm not talking about electric shock.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, you know, that may be just a silly
notion. I don't think there's any safety problem
okay.
involved.
Okay. They're well enough manufactured. So
yeah.
That, yeah.
No, and you're putting another non-conductive surface over it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really the problem. But as I said, can have the same problem that we had with electric ceiling cable, is trying to find where something has gone wrong to
got
repair it.
Okay. Several callers waiting. We'll go next to a Champagne listener on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes, I have an electrical safety question. We use a space heater down in our basement, and I'm wondering if that needs to be plugged into a grounded circuit or if it can be used on some wiring that is, it's not old wiring, it's new wiring.
As long, it doesn't have to be grounded for a space heater.
Okay.
As long, just keep your cord in good condition.
Uh-huh.
That's the major factor
okay.
on these. But no, a space heater does not require a ground.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Another Champagne listener, line number two. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I recently moved from a house with radiators and a big old boiler to a gas furnace in central air. I have a couple questions. Should the central air unit outside be covered in the winter?
No.
Okay, great. And the gas furnace, especially if it's set sort of at night in a lower heat, seems to cycle on and off rather quickly. You know, it'll come on for 5-10 minutes, go off for 15, come back on. Is this normal?
Fairly much so, yeah, particularly in weather like we are having now. If it's down to zero, it probably ought to be running 80% of the time at least.
Okay.
But at this time of year, yes, that's very normal.
And okay.
By no on the air conditioner, there is one exception to this, and that is if it is under where a snow slide could come off the roof or something like that, it wouldn't hurt to lay a piece of plywood or whatever over the top of it so that the snow doesn't go down into it. What we don't want to do is wrap it in plastic.
Great. Just a little protection from something heavy.
Right. And
okay, because it does sit fairly close right under the eaves.
Yeah, okay. Well, something that would keep the snow from dropping down into it wouldn't hurt, but definitely do not ever wrap them in plastic.
Great. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks for the call. And why don't you want to wrap it in plastic?
Because moisture that gets in can't get out, and it tends to corrode things in there.
Okay.
If you insist on having a cover, and I know some people do, it's got to be canvas so it can breathe.
Yeah.
But they're designed to be left exposed. We just don't want the ice and snow slide off the roof to come down on top of it and ding it up.
Okay. Very good. We'll go next to a listener in Mahomet, line number 3. Good morning.
Hi. I'm calling from actually out in the county, and I have some electrical work that I'd like to have done. Old wiring, ungrounded wiring. And what I'm wondering is, when am I required to hire a licensed electrician, get permitted, versus doing things myself?
Out in the county? Never.
Yeah. Never.
Right. There is no code enforceable in the county. The only code which is enforceable in the county is the state plumbing code.
Right.
Now, I won't say that this is necessarily desirable. You still, but there's nothing whatsoever, even in the in cities, to keep you from doing your own work as long as you're doing it properly.
Right. Okay. Great. Thank you much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now, wouldn't you want to at least involve an electrician to make sure that you're...
It depends on how much of a do-it-yourselfer you are, whether you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no requirement that you hire a licensed electrician outside the city.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple of the callers waiting. We'll go next to a listener on a cell phone on line number 1. Good morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A question about termites. What do you look for termite feeding?
What do you look for?
Yes. I mean, where do you look under? I mean, I've never found termites in my house, but where do you really look for the termites growing or living or eating, or how do you look for termites in your basement?
Okay. The termite nest is probably 10 to 15 feet underground. They get to your house by building little tunnels, and when they get in the house, they have to remain damp. A termite has to have about 90% humidity to live. So they build little tubes that they keep wet, and then they go up through those and chomp on the wood. So any place where you're getting a source of wood close to the soil is a possible entrance.
Okay, so like a crawl space would be much worse than a board basement.
Generally speaking, yes. It would be more likely to find them in a crawl space. Remember that termites required moisture. If you have wet wood, you will attract moisture. If everything is dry, they usually find something else to eat.
Okay. I appreciate that very much.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, and I hope you don't have them. And that's one reason, you know, we talk about grading around the house and bringing in soil close to the foundation so that the rainwater falls off the roof and then runs away from the house.
Away.
But you don't want to bring the soil up into contact with the
right.
wood
we
on the house.
We want to keep the soil about 6 inches below any wood that's there. And it's amazing their ability to find wet wood really is startling at times. I had a 3-story house that had a leak around the chimney. They managed to get in the basement. They went all the way up to the top, took out the members around the chimney, and didn't do any damage in between.
How about that?
So
they just follow the wet wood?
They go for the wet wood.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're about halfway through our conversation during this hour of Focus 580 with Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service here in Champaign-Urbana, taking your questions on home maintenance. And we have a couple callers waiting and time for others. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Another Urbana listener next on line number 2. Good morning.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I was looking at space heaters recently. And I noticed that a lot of them are unvented, and I'm wondering about your opinion on that.
Are you talking about electric or gas?
Gas.
I am totally against any unvented gas appliance.
Well, that seems to be the expert opinion. Why are there so many of them? Just because they're cheap?
Right.
Are there code problems with them?
It depends. If you're in the city, probably.
Yes, I am in the city.
Okay.
Well,
generally speaking, unvented gas heaters can be used only if they are considered to be a decorative appliance.
Mm-hmm.
The instructions that come with them indicate that they should be burned a maximum of 4 hours a day. They should have an oxygen depletion sensor so that we don't use all the oxygen in the room. And the real problem is the gases that they give off, the byproducts of combustion. First of all, there's water vapor. Anytime you burn gas, you are generating water vapor. That can create a moisture problem in the house. Secondly, carbon dioxide, not carbon monoxide. Monoxide can be deadly, yes, mm-hmm. but the carbon dioxide produced by burning, the nitrogen oxides, the sulfur oxides, are very harmful, particularly to the infants and to the elderly.
They'd probably be injurious to plants as well, wouldn't they?
Not too much. Plants love carbon dioxide.
Well, I was thinking of the nitrogen dioxide and the...
Are probably small enough. I doubt that it's going to affect plants.
Oh, okay.
Carbon monoxide will kill plants. It will also kill fish in fish bowls and mm-hmm. All this sort of thing. But I am totally against any unvented gas appliance. I really try to insist on a kitchen range hood that vents outdoors if you have a gas range.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to find a fireplace, a gas fireplace that does vent?
Yes.
I haven't seen them.
Oh, yes.
There are some. Okay.
Yes. Direct vent right out the wall.
Okay. I will be looking at that in the future. Actually, I was looking for a greenhouse heater, and I'm convinced that I do need a vented one. I have all the experts say so, including you. So it makes sense.
And that's the concern for plants.
Yes.
Well, as I say, you know, plants thrive on carbon dioxide, but the other things would not be particularly good for them.
No. And the main problem I have with the readily available vented heaters, most of them have to have an electrical connection.
Yes. Yes.
Although there is one available, at least, that's designed for greenhouses that doesn't.
No.
But it would seem that there'd be more interest in this area in ignition without electric.
Well, mostly connection. We need the electricity to power a fan to distribute the heat.
Yes, I suppose so. Even if you could keep the fire going, you wouldn't be able to distribute enough heat, I suppose, so it isn't practical.
Right.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, good luck. Couple callers waiting. We'll go next to line number one, Champaign County. Good morning.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have a new house, and the contractor has not caulked between the vinyl trim, like at the side and the top of a window, and the siding, which is vinyl. Mm-hmm. Should that be caulked?
Yes, but what should have been done was there should have been a flashing above the window that goes out and seals that off. We have a terrible time trying to convince builders that windows need to be flashed, not just taped in place.
Uh-huh.
And caulk helps. However, caulk is not a permanent solution to anything.
Would the 50-year caulking be best?
Well, if you believe that, I have a bridge that I would like to talk to you about.
Well, that's probably the best I can get. I mean,
yeah. I guess the first question is there a house wrap or other weather barrier behind the siding?
Yes, like a plastic sheet.
Yeah, the Tyvek or something like
yes.
that. Right. Okay. And most builders today are installing that and just taping it to the window with Tyvek tape. Tyvek tape is not designed as a flashing. Generally speaking, it has a lifetime of about 5 to 7 years, and then there's a good chance of getting some leakage. So generally speaking, yes, if the J mold around the window was set in caulk, that would certainly help. It is not the best way of doing it, but once the house is built, it's probably the only feasible thing to do with it at the time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say if you have, or you're having a house built, and you know, you can basically talk to your builder. Can you say, "I would like these windows flashed and not just simply taped with Tyvek tape"?
I would think you should be able to do so. He may object.
Yes.
We've been thrown off jobs for suggesting that. But that is, there is a new ASTM standard for mm-hmm. flashing windows and doors
yeah.
that require that flashing. Every window manufacturer in their literature indicates that the flange around the window is a mounting flange and not a flashing. So therefore, there needs to be a separate flashing. Unfortunately, without a building code that requires it, it's very difficult to convince the builder that this is darn well what he's supposed to be doing. We were out a month or so ago on a brand-new $400,000 house and suggested that the windows were not properly flashed. We went back and took the installation instructions from the window manufacturer off the Internet, gave them to the foreman on the job, and he looked through them and he said, "We've never put in windows that way." That is exactly the problem. I would really like to have something, one sentence added to the building codes that say all components will be installed according to the manufacturer's instructions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way it ought to be.
Okay. Well, we have several callers waiting. We'll go next to a listener in Rossville on line number 3. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
I just recently bought a older home that once upon a time had in it steam heat. Mm-hmm. And all the radiators are in there. The boiler is hasn't been used probably in 14 years, so I need a new boiler. The first question is, what do you think about steam heat?
Okay, do you know whether this is one-pipe steam or two-pipe steam?
One-pipe steam. By that I mean the radiators only have a pipe at the bottom, one pipe.
Right, okay. Steam heat has one major disadvantage, and that is a radiator is either hot, like 230 or 40 degrees, or it's cold. Mm-hmm. We can't modulate steam. However, there's nothing wrong with it. You get a big house, it may be quite practical.
Okay.
If it was a two-pipe steam, we can convert it to pumped hot water relatively mm-hmm. easily.
Are you suggesting then that hot water is better than steam heat?
Yes, definitely.
And why would that be?
Because you can modulate your input. As I say, with a steam radiator, it's either about 230 degrees or it's cold.
Okay.
Whereas we can, in mild weather, pump 120-degree water into a radiator. In colder weather, we can pump 180-degree water into a radiator.
Can the steam radiators be converted into hot water radiators?
Not easily, because you need the second pipe.
Okay.
That's why I was asking about one-pipe or two-pipe system.
Okay. How would you know that if the radiators were still in good working shape? I just took them out. They are kind of rusty on the outside. I was going to get them sandblasted and repaint them. But before I throw a whole lot of money into it, I want to know if they are in good working shape.
Well, it's a matter of how rusty are they on the inside.
And how would you determine that?
Just check and see whether when you shake them, rust flakes come out.
Uh-huh.
In which case, you definitely want to flush them out before you put them back in.
Okay. If you were doing it, would you put, sounds like you would rather select a hot water system. And if so, can you still get the old-fashioned radiators for a system like that?
Well, actually, the old-fashioned radiators can be used in that system because they have screw-in plugs. Where, generally speaking, aren't used. They were designed for either one.
Uh-huh.
So you probably have a pipe going in, and someplace you have a plug that screws in either top or bottom that has been painted over or whatever. And that's where you would put the second pipe for a hot water system.
Ah, I see. So the steam ones possibly could be used for that.
Yes.
Okay.
Very good chance of it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Yeah, I'm a big fan of hot water heats. Our first house had it, and it was certainly...
I have hot water heat in my house.
Yeah.
And
it's the most comfortable.
A properly designed system can be comfortable regardless of the media.
Okay. Yes. But I guess, you know, from the standpoint of you don't have hot air blowing around the house, you know, and it's just seems a lot more even heat.
To a great extent it is because when you have a warm air system, it's either blowing air or it's not blowing air.
Right.
Whereas our baseboards with the hot water system, whether the hot water is being pumped or not, the baseboard still is retaining heat.
Right.
So it's in many ways more. The biggest problem is you can't air condition.
Exactly. You have to have a separate system for air conditioning with ducts and vents and all that. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, several callers are waiting. We'll go next to someone on a cell phone on line number 4. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. What I have is I've got two metal style pole barns, and one of them's high and dry. It's way up out. The second one that's behind it has been added on to the back of it. And in order for the guy, and we just bought this property, in order for the guy who built it to keep the floors the same level, the back barn ends up about 2.5 to 3 feet below the grade line. So what happens is, and the way that the property is graded is towards the barns, and therefore we get a lot of water contained back in that, in the back barn. There's probably about a, 24-inch trench that's built around from when they built that second barn, and it's all made out of pressure-treated wood, and it's built real well. The problem is it's just so soggy in there. Is there some type of a system that can be put in place, and how would I go about? I mean, you could say, well, you just pile the dirt up against the side of the barn and slope it away, but then you got all that soil leaning up against the barn, and that can't be good.
Well, probably the best thing to do with it is to dig down to about 6 or 8 inches below the soil level, line that trench with plastic, put a perforated tile in it, and then you backfill it with washed gravel. So that way any water that gets there, whether it's coming off the roof, whether it's coming from the grading around it or whatever it is, hits that washed gravel, goes down into that tile, and then you tile it away someplace downslope.
All right. Now, what mill of plastic would you suggest? Is there specific types that they sell for that?
6 mil black would do fine. You definitely want black, not clear.
Gotcha. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Next up, listener in Bloomington, Illinois, line number 2. Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Got a door and window question. I have an older house, about 100 years old, but the central heating and air is 5 years old. But my main front door and many of the windows on the level are the original doors. A lot of the wood has been restored, but my main door is my big concern. When you open up the main door, you walk about 3 feet, then you have another door. It's like a small little walkway with a coat hook. When you go into that area, it's very, very cold, and what I want to do is I'm trying to figure out a way to insulate it, but I don't want to replace the entire door because the door is the original door and it's been restored. I'm looking at having someone come in and do it, but I don't know if, if the door is in bad enough shape, if I'm going to have to replace that, or if I can get enough weather stripping around the frame of the door to prevent the drafts from coming in.
Basically, weather stripping is your only answer. And that was built that way as an airlock so that you can open the outside door, come into this little chamber, close the outside door, then open the inside door so that the outside air is not blowing straight in. And this was often done in the days of less efficient heating systems, and it's still a great idea. Mm-hmm. So all we really can do at this point is to weather strip the heck out of that door.
And okay. And then would, I guess, the inner door part, I should look at weather stripping that too, because, you know, currently there used to be a flap on the bottom, but, I mean, when you put your hand underneath it, you can still feel, you know, a bit of a cold draft coming underneath.
Yes, I would weather strip the inner door as well.
Okay, and on the windows, I don't know if I have the name correct, it's the old, something in sash, I can't remember, but there's basically like pulleys and ropes, there's like wooden pulleys on the inside.
The old double-hung sash, yes.
Yeah, double-hung sash. The person we purchased the house from did a lot of restoring on that. He, you know, replaced all the mechanisms in the rope. They work really great. It's still the original windows, and it's a double window. We have, you know, the original window on the inside, and then there's a metal frame on the outside, I guess, that was retrofitted probably in the, I'd say, in the mid-'80s from the age and wear of it. If we want to keep the look of the inner windows, are we probably just better off just, you know, using like the Ziploc sealant every winter, just, you know, and then leave the little gap in the bottom?
Well, again, you can weather strip the windows. For that matter, you can, if you want to go that far, go to jam liners that have built-in spring-loaded stainless steel weather strips that use the same original windows. And those are a possibility. And if you need to rebuild any of the windows, the magazine called Old House Journal several years ago had some excellent articles on how to rebuild old double-hung windows. Actually, the insulating value of what you have, the existing window plus the aluminum combination storm screen, is just as energy efficient as a new replacement window.
Okay, yeah, because we really do want to keep, you know, the original look as much as possible, and we've been working on top of that. So, and what was the wet jam part? Which you said was the first thing.
You take the inside stop and the parting stop out, and mm-hmm. slip in a new aluminum jam liner.
Okay.
I know that. A couple of the local big box stores carry these things. And if you will give your name and address to our engineer, I will send you a citation on the Old House Journal article. Which
wonderful.
You should be able to find that at your local library. And if you own an old house, kill a couple of hours with back issues to that thing. That'll give you more ideas of things to do and not to do than almost any other source I know of.
Great, yeah, because we find everything when we get a newer book, or if we have a Black & Decker home repair book and some other major brands, most everything they're referring to are modern houses, and we're trying really not to, you know, waste energy and time and money, but we really want to try to keep the old feel and look of the house, but try to keep the heat inside instead of letting the squirrels stay warm on the outside. But great. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, and good luck. We have less than 10 minutes left with Hank Spies from the Spies Home Inspection Service, taking your questions on home maintenance, home repair, home improvement. Any questions along those lines are welcome in the time remaining. We have one caller waiting and time for others if you call us now. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. A Champaign listener next, line number one. Good morning.
Yes, hello, Mr. Spies. I had a Trane air conditioning unit installed this summer by a very reputable local retailer, and I was supplied a special cover, to put over the unit during winter, and I put it over the unit. The only caveat I received was make sure you remove it before you turn on the air conditioning next spring or early summer. Then I heard your comment about you should not cover air conditioning.
Not with plastic. What is this cover made of?
It's not plastic. It's sort of cloth-like or something like
that. Okay. A cloth one is fine because that allows the moisture to get out. A plastic one doesn't.
Okay, well, this is specially designed for it, and I pulled it over.
That's as long as you have a cloth one, fine.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks a lot. So probably a lot of those are canvas or something sturdy.
That's fine. But wrapping the things in plastic definitely shortens their life.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay. Another couple callers waiting. We'll go next to listener in Champaign, line number 3. Good morning.
Hi. I have a 20-year-old cedar shingle roof, and short of waiting for it to start leaking, how do we figure out when it's time to replace it?
Is this sawn shingles or split shingles?
Split, probably.
Okay. I would go up there and try and pinch the bottom edge and see to what extent it has rotted back from the bottom edge. If we can pinch in further than an inch, you're pretty close to being a new one. If you're less than that and you have no leaks and no blow-offs, you're in good shape.
So we get a few shingles down every windstorm.
Well, okay. That, as long as you replace them, that there's nothing wrong with that. There's an interesting trick to make it look as though you haven't had that problem, and that is before you put the new shingles up, if you soak them for a little while in a solution of about a pound of bicarbonate of soda to a gallon of water, the sunlight will cause them to gray.
Well, that's tricky. So when you say the bottom edge, so it's that same edge I see when I'm cleaning out the gutters, for example.
Yeah.
And so the issue is it gone all soft? Is that what you...
Yes. If you're soft for in for an inch or more, you're pretty close to repair time.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Several lines lit up when I mentioned the phone numbers, and we'll go through as many as we possibly can. Go next to an Urbana listener, line number 2. Good morning.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
My question is about roofs. I think I learned that you shouldn't, in installing a new roof, that you shouldn't install a new roof if the temperature is below 50 degrees. Is that true?
It is better if not, because there is an adhesive on the shingles that holds the things down, and when it gets colder than that, the adhesive probably doesn't stick until it does warm up. So I try to avoid installing shingles below 50 if I can.
Okay. That's good to know. Thank you very much.
Right. Because we're getting past the point where we're going to have 50-degree weather.
Well, I don't know. I came today, it was 48, so we're close.
Well, this week will be nice, but I'm just thinking in another month or so. Now, is the same true for painting?
Yes, again, depending on what kind of paint you use.
Yeah.
Exterior paint is temperature sensitive.
Right. So if there are any of those last-minute projects before the winter, maybe, get them in quick.
Today is it.
Okay. All right. A couple callers waiting, and we'll go next to someone in Indiana, line number 4. Good morning.
What about window air conditioners? I know there's a plastic thing that covers everything except the bottom, you know, sort of ties in a big bow tie. And I'm at that place now. I just had one put in a room, and I was thinking about that, actually. And I was wondering if your view is that no sense.
No, that's not hurting anything there, because your unit is still somewhat open to the inside.
Okay, yeah.
It's a matter of preventing condensation in there, and that's not going to happen in your situation.
Yeah, so you don't think it's actually needful even to put something around it then?
Well, it will certainly reduce the air leakage
if
you do.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot.
Good, yeah, well, that makes sense. Just block the air from coming to the house.
Right.
Okay. Couple callers remaining, and we should be able to get them both in. We'll go next to someone in Belgium, line number 1. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask Mr. Spees' advice on possibly a metal roof. You see them around a little bit more. They're standing ridge roofs. They're made out of sheet steel or metal.
Yes.
They look attractive.
Yeah. They're noisy and...
I mean, talking about putting over existing roof that's already has shingles on it.
Mm. How many layers of shingles?
2.
Tear them off.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get away from.
No, 3 layers of roofing we never recommend for anything.
Yeah. What about the roofs themselves? Do you know anybody that manufactures them or anything?
Oh, there's a lot of manufacturers of metal roofs, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with metal roofs. We don't see them in this part of the country too often. We go further south, we see lots of them.
Well, there's a more modern-looking roof you see more and more anymore. You know, you see them on commercial buildings.
It's like got a finish on it or something?
Yeah, it has different colors and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. They come with a Kynar paint finish and are quite durable and so on. But you haven't heard anything until you hit a hailstorm with a metal roof.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much. Do they last a lot longer, though?
They may. Yeah. You may have to give them a coat of paint 20 years down the line or something. But, they're a very durable roof.
Okay. We have one call remaining. Let's include them. Someone in Sullivan, line number two. Good morning.
Yes, I'm thinking about replacing an old furnace, and I mean an old furnace probably back in the 60s or beyond. Input is $140,000, and bonnet is $110,000. And I have a new pulse furnace of $100,000. Would that be adequate to replace that with it?
Probably. In that the efficiency is high enough, in all probability, I don't know, does your furnace run continuously in cold weather?
Not really. It kicks off and on.
Yeah, I think you probably will be in pretty good shape. If it hits 10 below, you may be a little cooler, but generally speaking, with the higher efficiency, I think you should be in good shape.
Okay. Someone said they didn't make pulse furnaces any longer. I got this out of a building that, and then they had a recall years ago. And like I say, it's still new and in the box. Is there still parts for pulse furnaces?
Generally speaking, yes, parts are available.
Okay.
It's just that they didn't sell well because they were noisy, and they did have some problems with the early ones.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. And with that, we'll have to wrap up since we're at the end of our time, and glad to see we got everybody in who called. Our guest has been Hank Spies of the Spies Home Inspection Service. Joins us once a month on the third Monday of the month at 10 o'clock to take your questions. And he also has a website. You can get good information for there. It's hankspies.com.
Right.
I got that right?
You did.
Very good. And thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
AM 580 thanks Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors for its support of Focus 580. Overhead Doors is pleased to support public radio in Central Illinois on behalf of its customers and business associates. Today's broadcast is made possible in part by Eastern Rug Gallery at 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign. Eastern Rug Gallery offers a collection of guaranteed hand-knotted Oriental and Persian rugs of all sizes, made of pure wool or silk pile, designed to add beauty to any decor, whether homes or offices.
That's it for this hour, Focus 580. When we return in about 10 minutes, David Teal will be your host, talking about Lady Gregory and the Abbey Theater with Joan McCready, writer and performer, and Sam McCready, professor of theater at the University of Maryland. First, we'll take a break for some news and a market update.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey. This just in from the Associated Press. The White House has confirmed the resignations of Secretary of State.